Hello and welcome to CodeBytes, sponsored by Search 5.0. I'm your host, Stephen Turkington, and on today's episode, we're very pleased to welcome Festina Donaghy to the podcast. CodeBytes was formed to create an accessible pool of mentors. And still to this day, we see plenty of aspiring technologists without that go-to person within their career. In this episode, we delve into Festina's journey, which has spanned across the globe, such as NI and the States, and anything from global players such as Liberty IT to her love and passion for startups and most recent success in driving Ocula Technologies within Northern Ireland. We talk about how Festina's diverse network continues to serve her well and the importance of creating a psychological safe environment within your working practices. For those that know Festina, know of her passion for data, we delve into how this came about and the current landscape and much, much more. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Festina, a very warm welcome to CodeBytes.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Very excited to have you on board, Festina, especially your background, your journey. And I think you've got a couple of really good things to share to our listeners.
Hopefully.
So without further ado, I'd love for you to just give us an overview as to, I guess, what got you into technology and your career journey to where you are today.
Okay. Well, I guess it's had a fairly traditional start. I went to university here in Belfast. I went to Queen's, and I've worked across lots of different industries on the way. I've actually written a little list to make sure I don't forget because I've been around a wee while. So I started off, first job out of university, was at ExxonMobil, like an oil refinery in Essex, of all places.
Okay.
All of these, I will caveat, have all been in technology. None of them have been doing any kind of oil drilling or anything that exciting. But so from there, then I moved to a commercial real estate agency in London. Again, doing tech and setting up their systems and looking after all the stuff that they were doing. While there, I got an opportunity to move to Austin in Texas and work for a company called Tivoli Systems, who were owned and bought over by IBM. While there, I then got headhunted, for want of a better word, to go work for a tech startup in Austin as well. So we did that for a while, started setting up their environment, started working with their systems, you know, doing their back end, that type of thing. And everything was going well until they went through Chapter 11, which is a form of bankruptcy, in case anybody's not aware.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it was one of those where you're allowed to come back out of it again. You're just given a little reprieve. So there was a few different processes happened. We trimmed down to sort of just a few people who were core to lights on, and then we came back out of Chapter 11 again. So back up and running and still in the US. At that point, I'd been there probably 5 or 6 years at that stage. So I never wanted to do visas or any of that kind of thing. I had an opportunity to do that, but I always wanted to come back home again. So that point in time, moved back home, got married and bought a house. That was all within like a couple of months. It's all very fast and whirlwindy. While doing that, I still stayed working for the company in the US. So that was a little bit of continuity, which was good. But it was also weird because I was in a flat, an apartment here in Belfast, doing US hours sort of on my own. Husband was away off to work doing his normal thing, came home, and I sort of talked his ear off because I had nobody else to talk to here during the day. But anyway, did that for a while, and then I got approached by Liberty and Liberty IT here in Belfast. And from there, as you can imagine, it was like people and all sorts of things that were going for that. So I started working for them, and that was me for the next 17 years, believe it or not. And while it was one company, there was still so many areas to grow, so much movement, so lots of things in there. So I started off as an engineer and then finished off as an architect. And then at that point, got approached by Ocula, which is where I'm at the moment. To be their site lead and VP of engineering, so to set up their data platform. So that's me, journey in total, end of list.
What a journey, Festina, and a real good mix of different domains, kind of startup, scale up, and obviously kind of a global organization. And, you know, I think the great thing is that, you know, we've had a few guests, you know, coming from Liberty IT, especially that kind of growth, and everybody's came from there has kind of spent quite a lot of long time, I think, there, which kind of speaks volumes. Because obviously, despite it being a global organization, you still get a chance to kind of work in various different areas and smaller areas, of the business. But I'm really keen because I think you've had a really good journey, especially the last couple of years. With regards to you being at Liberty IT for 17 years, this brand new sparkly startup comes knocking at your door. Talk me through, I guess, the emotions and the want to go and after 17 years, kind of take that step into that kind of startup world as a site lead. So basically, I'm guessing employee number one, right?
In Belfast, yeah.
Wow, in Belfast, yeah. So talk me through that. What was that kind of gravitized you towards that opportunity?
It's interesting actually because like I was happy enough at Liberty, I was comfortable, that kind of thing. But it was just data is my thing. Always has been, always sort of will be that connection to data. And this was the opportunity to go and build out something brand new to work with the co-founders who were like really inspiring when they told their story and everything else and got really bought into the idea of what they were trying to build. And then the fact that I could go and had so much autonomy to be able to start with this green field of nothing and build something to grow, build out the team, build out the site, build out the community. It was just building everywhere. So it was just very exciting and very hard to turn down something like that. It just got me really, really excited. And it was one of those things, it was like it's a leap of faith. Just let's go for it. So,
Do it. Not that long.
exactly, just do it. That's it.
And what a journey. What a journey. Christina, if you were to reflect back on your career to date, has there been a pivotal moment that stands out for you? I'm sure there's been several, but has there been that one defining moment?
Yeah, it's funny. There has been many and many different pivots and turns and changes and ups and downs. But funnily enough, the one thing I think I would say, and it might surprise people, is actually my year placement, believe it or not, because I know it's way back in the past, but still, it's where I got into data. Before that, I hadn't thought about data. I was like building, software and systems and things like everybody else was thinking about, at university and writing code and all the rest of it. But it was actually on my year placement that I was involved heavily in, the data environment for the company that I was working for. So it's not even, the company or the type of company or anything like that. It was just seeing what you could do with data. They've been able to manipulate it, capture it, move it around, the value of it and the asset that it was. That's basically that got me onto that path, and I haven't really looked back since. So weirdly, it's far back, but that's the thing that
So you've been a data guru since graduation.
I don't know about guru, but involved
Love
anyway.
it. How would you kind of what would be your opinion of the whole data landscape currently? Because obviously that's all you're hearing at the moment, Christina, like the big push on data and the value in data. And obviously data's been around for so long, as you mentioned, it's something you gravitized towards at your placement year. But how do you see the world of data that we're currently in?
I think it's amazing with the fact that it's become part of everybody's vernacular. Everybody's talking about it, whether it's your mom and dad, whether it's people on the street, whether it's when you go into, the hairdresser to get your hair done, wherever it is you happen to be, everybody is talking about it in some form or other. Like ChatGPT really opened that up and turned something that's been around for years into something that everybody could visualize and interpret and play with and use and things like that. So I think that's the one thing that to me from, when I started looking at it and talking to it, it's that the volumes and the amount of data that's around obviously has changed. That's become massive. But also it's just how common everybody feels like they know it up to a point, if you know what I mean. So I think that's probably the biggest change of it. It's in everybody's like
Everywhere, isn't
conversation.
it? Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tool there which now everybody can use with probably minimal effort to a certain degree.
Definitely, but yeah.
And I'm really keen for Sina to talk to you about the part of mentorship, which is obviously, our mission here in CodeBytes. What's your relationship been with mentorship and how important is it in one's career?
Mentorship, I think, is huge. I think mentorship is probably maybe not as under not as utilized or thought about as much as people should be doing it, but I think mentorship is massive. Everything, if you think about it, your whole life, both work and life, has mentorship, whether you call them a mentor or whether you don't. Like, you've got people around you who can, they're just sort of go-to person. There's somebody who you can use as a sounding board. You've got an idea, you're like, I don't know if I should be voicing this out loud. Should I voice this? You'll go to talk to somebody who you've got that connection with or that relationship with that you know will listen to you. And they'll say things like, you know, that's brilliant. Or they'll say, you know what, maybe you need to tweak it a wee bit, or, you know, or think about how you want to phrase it or whatever. They'll give you advice. They'll give you sort of help in that sense. So it can be somebody who has more experience than you. It could be somebody who's just got different experience than you. It can be all sorts of things. But I think having someone that you can talk to and you can be yourself with and share the information with, and maybe sometimes it's just a reflection that you need. You need to be able to tell them what you're thinking and just be able to hear it out loud sometimes. But to me, mentorship is hugely important. And even in within Ocula, like we have within the engineering department, everybody has a mentor that they could go to. They can go to anybody on the team. That's sort of the way we work. But they have everybody has a mentor that they can go to and they can talk to that will make time for them and help them, you know, grow in their experience or help them bounce ideas off, or even just look at a bit of code and go, no, you need to change that. You need to modify this. That looks perfect. Whatever it happens to be. So for me, it's really important. And you don't just need one. You have them all over the place. Say thank you. They're everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that, Vasina. And even actually from your own personal journey, because I think maybe kind of perhaps being a leader, first person on the ground in NI, for instance, starting something new, fresh, etc., can be quite a daunting but exciting, obviously, kind of task and challenge. Even over the last kind of 2, 3 years at your level then, Vasina, did you have, I suppose you have quite a good network there. Did you kind of have one or two people that you perhaps kind of bounced ideas off and kind of had that support arm?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a few different people that I know that are sort of similar kind of positions in other organizations in Belfast that would have more experience doing this, because taking this on and doing the site lead role was quite new for me. I'd done a lot of the technology and all that side of it, but that was fine. But some of the site, taking on that new site, and that was sort of part of the excitement, because that was the bit that I could really grow into. So having people that I could bounce that off and talk to about that and get their opinion off it was really good. Also, like, my sister works in as a within like the technology industry in Belfast as well, so in Northern Ireland. So having her as somebody who I can bounce ideas off is great. It's like twofold. She'll tell you what she really thinks, but she's also got experience in that kind of space. And other people, yeah, just like I've got a really good network now. Some of the people that I talk to are brilliant. So it's phenomenal. No matter what level you're at, you can always find somebody who can help you from that perspective.
I think that's what makes Northern Ireland such a special place as well. Vasina, and actually, do you know what? I had a bit of a creep on your LinkedIn, and I saw actually a post from quite a while ago. I believe your daughter goes to Assumption, and she's
She
actually
was.
part of the Sisters Inn
She was, yeah.
mentorship and was able to kind of have a go-to mentor at some stage in her career,
Absolutely.
which is great at that stage, at that age.
Oh, it is. And I would promote that Sisters Inn organization. It's fantastic having that, like the buzz. You can just go into their events. The buzz you get, you can feel the buzz off them, you know, the girls at that level just getting in and having people that they can talk to, being able to stand up on the stage in the waterfront, giving it large and everything else. It was brilliant. Really, really good. You could just feel the excitement sort of in the room, and the potential for the future is stunning.
I'm sure. And it's good to see this as well and Sisters Inn and those organizations, because I think we're kind of going to a stage now where schools have historically had to depend on ex-pupils to kind of give up their time and come in, etc., which a lot I'm more than happy to. Like I'm more than happy to have seen and have done now. But I think to have now these kind of core mentorship organizations within our schools and our education system, I think is just phenomenal. And long may it continue. And I guess that kind of leads us nicely into the world of talent. Vasina, obviously you kind of built technology teams and especially over the last kind of 2, 3 years. I'm keen to learn, how would you identify good talent in today's market?
Very good question. Especially with the amount of movement and everything else that is around, like retaining and keeping people and finding people is difficult. I think once the heart. Obviously, the first thing is a CV. Getting that piece of paper, or whether it's Having whatever you've got written down in LinkedIn, although I'm guilty of not having that done, but having that thing which represents some of the things that you've done in your career, having that and having that solid and keeping it up to date. I tend to have just updated mine when I've needed to, but it's much and trying to remember from years of what you've done is very hard. So just keep that up to date, keep that going. Once that's there, that just opens the door. Once you're in, it's all about you. So I guess if you're coming in, it's like just be real, be authentic, be you when you're in there. The things I look for in an interview is somebody who I'm actually having a conversation with. It shouldn't be a, very static, you talk and then I talk and then you talk and then I talk and you answer questions. It should be very much conversation. I like when somebody brings something up, I like be like, oh, that's interesting. How did you do that? Or where did you go to from that? And who did you talk to about that? And how did that happen? And how did that work out? And it's much more conversational, which I think helps relax the environment. But I think you can feel and get that, I guess that vibe, for want of a better word, of someone that you know there's going to be a good connection, they're going to be a good fit in your organization, and they're going to be able to be somebody that can talk to other people, can share their ideas with you, and can actually, articulate what it is they're trying to do. To me, that's sort of how you sort of find people. Obviously, they need to be able to do the technical thing, job that you're trying to get them to do, or they need to have the aptitude. To me, that aptitude and attitude is huge over what you've technically done. If you've got a massive aptitude and attitude for learning and growing, it doesn't necessarily matter exactly what you've done up to that point. You know that you're going to be able to, grow into whatever's coming. So to me, that's what I look for when I'm trying to get somebody in the door, make sure that they're a really good fit for the company. I guess for me personally, the three things that matter to me, so I think about them mattering to other people, is that I want to make sure that people are valued for what the job that they do. I want to make sure that they understand what they're doing is valuable and the value that they're bringing, and then make sure people are paid appropriately. I think as long as you do that's like core. Having a community, having a good social environment, having it fun, a bit of a laugh. It's not all very, based up and straight. When you're in there, it's like relaxed. It's, people can chat and talk and, they're not being watched at what they're doing. It's trust. People are trusted.
I love those three strands you mentioned there, Bastina. And I think knowing the business and obviously kind of getting to know you through working in Clockwise over the last while, you can definitely see that. And I think we're definitely on the same wavelength to kind of providing that psychological safe environment. I think long gone are the days of an intense, overly formal interview situation because nobody wins. You don't actually get to see the true sense of somebody's personality. There's a facade there, whereas in actual fact, break down the barriers, get to know them at a human level, become curious, and just build that rapport. It just goes such a long way.
100%. I would totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. So, very important.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And what would you see as the greatest opportunity in our market?
I think everybody's going to go, AI, it's a big thing. Because it is, it's massive, it's huge, and it's everywhere. And it definitely is something to be involved in. And Gen AI and all the buzzwords that go around that, totally. But for me, I think the biggest opportunity for everybody, and maybe this is a bit generic, but, is the variety and like that is out there, the amount of organizations, the amount of industries, like everything is technology based. Everything. There's very little you do that does not involve technology of some description. So to me, it's the fact that like there's so many industries, there's so many organizations. Northern Ireland is like buzzing with the amount of talent that's here and the amount of organizations that are here that are doing really exciting stuff. So I think to me it's the number of the different types of industries that you can get into. Yes, everybody's wanting to do AI. I do that. That's the environment I'm in. I can't say anything about that. But I do think it's the biggest opportunity is the fact that there are so many things that you can get into. Something you care passionately about is probably doing it with technology. Follow your heart as well as your head, kind of thing. So.
Love that. And it's such a vibrant scene at the moment. We've stayed in some great different domains and startups and scale ups and global players. And I think set aside from the domains too, I mean, just the breadth of roles that we're seeing across technology. You know, I guess we're seeing roles that 3 years ago to 4 years ago probably didn't exist. And again, I think we're going to see another fast track of different roles coming out on the back of AI. In the next 2 3 years, so it's such an exciting opportunity, and it's an important message to kind of send to people that You don't have to stay within the one role. Try different areas, and one thing will definitely fit and resonate.
Oh, totally. Everything's like from prompt engineers now to, all sorts of things. There's like loads of stuff out there. And if you don't find something that you like now, don't worry about it. Just move on, have a look around, and move on to something different. There's just tons of stuff out there. So don't feel like, you're stuck in something for a long time. If it's not the right thing for you, move on.
Absolutely. We're even actually getting some salary mapping requests into the business, and I'm thinking, like, what's that title? What does that do? A computer visionary, what? So yeah, we're definitely evolving. Vasina, what would be the best advice that you could give to any aspiring technologist?
So many bits of advice. I think to me, I think one of the things that was very big in my career and something I would recommend for people, and that is, I guess, location, location, location. Travel around a bit, go experience technology in different countries, move jobs, do different things, get more and more different experiences. I think, and I know I'm saying that, and I stayed with Liberty for 17 years. But I was growing in different ways in that space. But before that, I had lived in the US. I had lived in in the mainland in England. I had worked here. I had worked in different places. I had changed jobs every probably maybe a year and a half kind of timeline. Not suggesting everybody does that. Whatever works for different people is right. But I do think getting out and seeing what it's like working in different places, you grow your confidence. You can see that, you really are doing something that's important and you matter, and it's not just you're in a wee tiny place and all the rest of it. Just go out and see the world a wee bit. Or if you don't want to leave the country, that's fine. But at least maybe look at different opportunities and different jobs. So variety, I think you get lots of different experience. You see how other people do it and in different places, and it helps you form like your opinion on what you think is the right way to do things.
That's worthy advice, Christina. Even probably if you look back at your 6 years out in the States and Texas, I'm sure if you see that kind of boomerang effect when you come back to NI, like you've been such a more all-rounded person, from your experience and even from a cultural kind of perspective too, and which is probably sitting good stead, for the companies you've joined since here in NI, particularly the stakeholder management that you'd have had to have conducted through the States and other parts of the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that was really helpful, actually, living in the States and then coming back and then working for like a company that's based here, but it's a US global company. You appreciate other cultures more, you see other things, you realize that yes, we may look different, we may speak a different language, we may do lots of different things, but we're all looking for the same things. We're all trying to get better, we're all trying to improve, we're all trying to be nicer people and all the rest of it. So I think being able to go out and see that really opens your eyes.
Oh, love that, Vestina. Vestina, this has been such an epic conversation, which I knew it would be. I've been looking forward to this for the last 3, 4 weeks. We always end Code Bites by asking what book or audio has had a profound impact on your career and why?
I would be a voracious reader.
Oh.
I had a little blip in the middle when I had babies and my brain didn't work. But before and after that, I read a lot. I have read a lot, and I've transitioned more into audiobooks now because I can listen to them when I'm walking and doing different things. But a book, I guess, that I have gone back to or revisited in recent times, that I would have read it like a while back and would have been recommended by someone in an organized previous organization and how I got it, was a book called Radical Candor. So basically what it is, it's a way of saying that you should be straight with people, you should be authentic and genuine with people. If somebody needs to hear that maybe what they're doing isn't hitting the mark, tell them, be kind about how you do it and be respectful about how you do it, but give somebody the opportunity to learn, to get better, to improve whatever it is they're doing. Equally, if they are doing something great, tell somebody they're doing something great, but just be straight with people. Don't sort of hide the message or fluff around the message. Like, and end up confusing it. Just be straight with people, but be kind while you're doing it. Don't be blunt or rude or whatever, but just, do it from a place of positive intent.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. It's probably empathetic clarity,
There you go.
isn't it? And And that's it. I mean, that's how things get done quicker and more efficiently. And I guess one thing which could lag kind of processes, and I think as human beings, we're overthinkers, really, and if there's any ambiguity floating about, kind of just hit it nail on, and that approach which you delivered, which perfect, Christina, love that. We'll be able to share that as well on our Copilot book review, because I know there'll be a couple of listeners that we have which that will really resonate with, Christina. So thank you for sharing that. And if people want to find out a bit more about your fine self, how and where could they go about doing this? I know you're not probably somebody who updates their LinkedIn, as you mentioned that often, but is that your kind of go-to, or
Really
not
bad at
really?
that. Don't do what I do what I say. That's what I mean. Yes, best place, just ping me on LinkedIn, message me, say hello, that type of thing. Absolutely. It's probably the easiest way for anybody to get me. But if you see me at a conference, I like going to the conferences and meetups and things like that. If you see me, come say hello. I am very approachable and very open to chatting. As you can tell, I talk a lot. So I'm up for a chat and a conversation at any time. So that would be me.
Love that. And I always kind of convince the listeners as well, like, as to our meetup scene is getting more and more vibrant, from post-COVID. And there's nothing better than actually going up and speaking to people and just building a relationship, because you never know where that one conversation will lead you to, which
Totally.
is exciting.
Totally agree
So
with that.
I'll be able to plug your LinkedIn, just in the show notes. Christina, this was a brilliant conversation, as I knew it would be. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, it's been absolutely lovely. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, Stephen.
Brilliant. Thank you, Christina.